Good evening, this is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to QLV. QLV, Queer Lehigh Valley, brings leading-edge conversations about LGBTQIA+ culture and community of the Lehigh Valley to WDIY listeners every month, including interviews with our neighbors, elected officials, and community leaders that will inspire acceptance and inclusion. I am your host, Justin Parker Fields, he, him, his pronouns, and I want to thank you for your support, as we know you could be anywhere doing anything right now, but we're glad you're here with us tonight. June ushers in Pride Month, and what a way to kick off our show tonight with the Lehigh Valley legend, Jerry Schmidt, half of the Clearious duo Clan Inn and previous manager of the Stonewall and Moose Lodge in Allentown, even though a lot of us thought he was the owner, rightfully so, which recently closed its doors, well-deserved, after all of the years they provided a safe, inclusive space for our community. We're going to chat about its history, Jerry's time there, the movements they've weathered, and what's next for him. So, Jerry, welcome to WDIY Studios.
Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for being here. Now, the Stonewall did open in 1972, 50 years ago. We know that you're a manager there. I, going there as a young adult, always just thought you ran the place. But it's cool to know that I'm still learning in current history here today. But what are some of the defining moments from your early days there until the last day you guys closed?
Well, so of course, everyone remembers the first time they went into Stonewall, right? I think it was probably like 1986 in the summer. I had just gotten out of college and I walked in and I found my people, right? It was just so cool. I had never experienced anything like that. I went to college in a kind of a rural setting. So we just had corner bars and, wow, Stonewall was great. It was amazing. It was decorated and people were dressed up. It was really fun. And, you know, I really got my wings kind of as an artist there, you know, as a writer and as a comedian. So sort of that whole time period where I really learned that was who I was and where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And it just provided me with a place to just explode and do, you know, just be me.
Oh, man.
And look where we're at now.
And then all of the people that obviously, you know, came in the door after as well and kind of had the same enthusiasm and spirit. It was kind of like a trickle-down effect for a lot of people in the community.
Definitely. I can't tell you now. I'm 58 now, so I've started working there when I was 25. Mm. And I can't tell you how many people I bump into now who are like, you served me the first drink I ever had in a gay bar, right? Like, oh my gosh. And in many cases, I'll be like, holy crap. Oh my God, I remember. Like, I completely remember that, you know? And to see people come in and also have that same feeling of like, of freedom or just beingness, you know?
That's important.
It is.
Especially when there's not enough spaces like that out here.
Correct. Yeah, so true.
Now, how did Stonewall become the safe space for Lehigh Valley, in your opinion?
Wow, well, I think it probably came that long before I walked through for the first time, you know? I think it gave you a chance to just be who you were. So, majority of my adult life, I worked in a gay bar or a gay resort. And so I never had that need to, like, oh my God, take off the corporate garb and, you know, and just be a gay man dancing like crazy on the dance floor. But I really saw and appreciated how important that was to so many people, especially back then. And I think the farther back you go, the more important it was.
Yeah. Because there's more inclusivity nowadays. I mean, we still have a ways to go, but from back then until now, there's a lot more acceptance and moving forward with that.
Definitely.
Thinking back, whether it be like related to political or social movements, was there ever a moment where you had to take a step back and say, hey, like, our community is facing an issue here. This scares the crap out of me. If this goes left, what do we do? Any of those situations ever happen?
So I came out in the middle of the AIDS crisis, right? So that was the focus at that point for everyone, to protect themselves, protect their friends, and then do everything we could to make comfortable those people who were either infected or affected by HIV/AIDS. But, you know, during the Bush era, the whole idea of trying to create a constitutional amendment to keep us from being married, I mean, what is that? Right? Like, you're watching the president of the United States leader advocate to exclude you from society.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of my writing at that time was political satire, but in a way to just draw attention to the hypocrisy towards LGBTQ people at that time.
Yeah.
Like just utter hypocrisy.
Now, what you're writing was like ever published? Like, where did you share that?
So, okay. So when I first came to Allentown, I met up with this group of people who had a comedy troupe called Tiny Tales Theater. And it was kind of like adult fairy tales. It was very fun. And the impresario of the group, Tim Roach, got AIDS and ultimately succumbed to that. And so we were left with nothing. And so I started writing like mad, and I created a group called the Enigma Players. And we were just as gay as could be. And we were doing political satire and social satire. And we were getting the attention of the Morning Call, which was doing previews before we would perform, doing a review as our shows went on. And we performed primarily at Stonewall. We called it Disco Theater. And then a theater called Theater Outlet picked us up, and we did tons of stuff with them. So I probably have, you know, maybe 100, 125 scripts under my belt.
Wow.
Maybe 75 of them have been produced.
Wow.
And it turned into what I'm doing with Tim Hahn or Sharon and Husbands now is kind of like the ultimately where that all led to.
The segue. That works.
I mean, it wasn't even an intentional one. It's just, you know, it's the reality of art.
Now, you mentioned Clan Ann. For our listeners who don't know who Clan Ann is, who's Clan Ann?
Clan Ann is a pair of really fun, identical twin drag queens, Sharon Ann Husbands, Timothy Hahn, and Carol Ann, me. I happen to be biased, but I think we're funny.
And so you don't like, when you're Clan Ann, like, yeah, Stonewall, but you two actually perform like all over.
We're getting around, yeah. So we've had one of our original scripts produced at Civic Theater. We had a weekend run there. Arts Quest has done a couple of them. And yeah, we've been around.
Now, do you ever get like stage fright or nervous about the material that you perform over the years? And it's like, oh, like, you know, how's it going to be received?
Less now than I think I did before. And along with that goes, there's less regret after a performance of like, oh my God, why would I have said that? Or what was I thinking? Right. You know, I think ahead of time a little bit more than I ever did.
That makes sense. Especially, you know, as you progress and, you know, and do it for a little bit there. Now, there have been a lot of staff and volunteers that walk through the doors of Stonewall at any given night. And it's funny, we were talking about first times there. So I remember the first time I went to Stonewall. I was 22 years old. I was just coming out. I was nervous as heck. And I remember just, even my fashion was horrible. I had this green button-down shirt tucked into some blue jeans, dress shoes. And I was just like, I can't walk into this. Like, I just I look stupid. I walked in the door and everyone has like muscles and they're like chiseled. And I'm like, I mean, not everybody looked like that, but enough people. And I'm like, what am I doing here? And I remember I was getting ready to turn and leave, and Charmaine was at the door. And she's like, where are you going? Like, come on, let me check your ID. And she checked my ID, and she just made me feel so comfortable, and I just laughed. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to have a good night. And then fast forward to closing night, and she checked my ID for the last time. And I got choked up. And it was just like, it was like full circle. What do the employees and volunteers mean to you at the Stonewall?
Wow, that has been such a big part of my life, and the effect and influence that all of the different people I've encountered have left on my life has been profound. When I think the general public looks at importances of jobs, maybe bar manager or bartender is pretty low. But when you are in that position, you encounter a lot of people at their most vulnerable, particularly working in an LGBTQ oriented space.
Yeah.
And so your job adds a little importance, because sometimes as an older gay, you're just full on counseling someone or just there to listen and say, you know what, like, I made it and I think you can too.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of is sad is that those conversations still happen, right? We still have those conversations.
Yeah.
I think with less intensity and less fear, but it's still there. And I'm ready for that to be in our past, frankly.
Yeah. And when you think it was like, it's kind of like, it was like a buddy system that we always learned from school. Like, you know, that face, that familiar face. I mean, even your husband's like a face that like, hey, when you guys are pouring drinks, I know this person. I feel connected to them. I know it's going to be a safe space and they're gonna make me a good drink.
Right.
But it was
right.
Like, it was like a buddy system in a sense. And it was like free therapy when you think about it.
Definitely. Yes. Yes.
Now, was it hard closing the doors? I mean, I know you're the manager, not the owner, but you might as well have been. But was it hard for you? What was that impact on you?
So it was not hard for me, but right. So about 10 days before Stonewall closed, I had a total knee replacement. So I was not able to be there. I wasn't even going to be able to make it up the steps. I was dealing with a whole bunch of other stuff right at that time, right? Like pain management and recovery and just all of that. So it really didn't hit me till about 4 months later. And I was having a conversation with my friend Jay about it. And he was asking some pretty pointed questions about, you know, about the experience there. And I, you know, like realized, wow, that was my coming of age. Yeah. And that was the majority of my adult life right there, you know, in those four walls. And so the closing of it ended a chapter in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm a person who's comfortable with ending chapters and starting new ones.
Yeah.
Right. I don't forget the past. I learn from it and I appreciate it, but I'm always excited for new adventures. So I came out of it, you know, knowing that I was done in that industry because I had done everything I wanted to do in that.
Yeah.
And it was time to really start having fun with Clan Ann and to just see where we could go and what we could do.
So it's still like the gift that kept on giving. Yeah. When you worked out, it kind of worked out with that.
Yeah.
Now we're in June, so it's Pride Month. I know Lehigh Valley Pride is in August, but what was Stonewall's role throughout the years for Pride in Lehigh Valley?
Wow. I mean,
I played some bingo and stuff, but, you know, what was the...
Right. So it was always like the after party, of course, was always there. When Pride first began, at that time, I still had my comedy troupe, the Enigma Players. So we would open the week with a piece at Theater Outlet, but we would close the week at the after party and we would do like a 30-minute sketch comedy thing. Very, you know, whatever was the current issue for the gays at the time, yeah. we would handle it. And then it would just be a crazy dance party. But Stonewall already was Pride before Pride happened, because that's where you went so that you could feel good about yourself. Yes. And feel good about your friends and just... Put your hand up to the rest of the world and just let yourself go. And really, like, that's what Pride is. When you see young people who you can see in their eyes that they're free for the first time at a Pride event, holy cow, what else do you need? You know, that's life fulfilling right there.
What does Pride Month mean to you?
Pride Month means I'm sitting here at 58 and I'm happy and I'm married to my husband and life is really good, right? Like, life is good for me. I'm ready to help out. I'm ready to bring other people on their journey.
Yeah.
But for me, it means all of the nonsense that happened in my past. Junior high was rough. High school was extremely rough. Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm a stronger person because of all of that. In the moment, it's so hard to think that, you know, being belittled in public could make you a stronger person. You don't want to go on.
Yeah.
But I'm here.
And look at that. And thriving. What's next for Clan Ann? Like, where can we see you guys? If people want to jump down that rabbit hole, it's a fun rabbit hole to jump down.
Where will we be next? So we are, we're hoping to be back at Civic with one or two more pieces there. Mm-hmm. I'm getting kind of back into the sketch comedy writing. So we're looking forward to working with other people in some sketch comedy formats, as well as just the nonsense that people know us for.
So this new age gets to possibly hear some of your sketch comedy routine when you guys get out there.
Yes. Yeah, right on.
That works.
So I'm at the Lafayette Bar in Easton now every Tuesday night.
Okay.
I have a show called Bingo-Rama. It's really not about bingo. It's more just about honing down my stand-up. So we play 10 games of bingo, but I'm essentially, you know, trying things out while I'm there doing that.
Yeah, and where can we find Clan Ann online?
ClanAnn.com.
Oh, so you have the whole ClanAnn.com website.
That's perfect. We do, yes.
No one can take that.
No one can take that now.
No one can take that.
ClanAnn.com.
Look at that. In closing, you know, I do want to thank you on behalf of our community for providing a safe space for us to be queer, to be loud and proud, to be unafraid, to simply just be who we were born to be. And, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure it does, but if it ever dawns on you from time to time, you know, not only did you change people's lives, but you saved them as well. So I just want to say job well done and thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I think you're trying to make me cry.
I had to write this down because, like, I was writing it. I was getting choked up because, you know, Stonewall has such a huge impact on all of our lives.
All of our
lives.
You
know, and it was one of those mainstays where it's like that was like where our identity was, because I was in corporate America, and so, you know, we do this code switching kind of thing, and to be able to go there and see all the familiar faces, kind of like Lehigh Valley Cheers. Like, everybody knows your name. And it was perfect. So thank you for that.
Certainly.
Thank you. So we are going to take a short break. You are listening to QLV with our guest, Jerry Schmidt, half of Clan Ann. When we come back, we will be speaking with the talented folks behind the Drag Brunch series hosted by the Bradbury Sullivan Center. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see. Our troubles are all the same. Everybody knows your name. You wanna go where people know. People are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Connect to WDIY with our streaming app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store and enjoy the great music, news, and programs that you love on the go. The easy-to-use app is where you can listen to WDIY live or your favorite music shows on demand with our two-week archive feature. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Welcome back to QLV. We are here with Christina Vixen, host and star performer in the upcoming Drag Brunch at the newly opened Sports and Social in downtown Allentown. Christina, thank you so much for joining us here at QLV tonight.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited that you're here. This is going to be fun. Christina, why are events such as Drag Brunch needed in our community?
One, for me to get paid. Two, because it's just absolutely amazing to see the support from the community, specifically the LGBTQ community. But of course, we have our allies and we have people that celebrate us that don't identify with our community. And it's just great for all of us to come together in a space that we can be authentically ourselves and hopefully inspire those who come after us to do the exact same thing, just with sometimes better looks and better quality outfits and wigs.
Better as with progression as it goes along, right?
Yes, absolutely. Always looking for progress.
Now, do you have any tips or advice for those at any age who say, you know what, I relate to this. I want to do this. Where do they start?
For those who want to do drag?
Yes.
Be warned that it is a financial commitment. Sugar Daddy is definitely encouraged, but not necessarily needed. I think what I would say to anyone who just wants to try drag or thinks that it's something for them is look at it as an art form. Think of it as a character. Develop your character and develop what you are going to do. But also recognize that that's going to change over time. Mm-hmm. The queen that I was in 2017, that's not the same queen that I am today. And you learn things about yourself that you didn't know that you had. Like, I didn't know how great at physical comedy I am. I didn't know how personable I can be on a stage whenever it comes to being in drag. It, not to quote RuPaul, but it really does expose who you are. It's not another person. It's an extension of who you are.
Wow. That was pretty deep. Now, when we're, you know, discussing the art of drag and drag queens in pop culture. Now, we watch fan favorite shows such as RuPaul's Drag Race, mm-hmm. Which has seen its contestants come out even with shows and movies of their own. Why do you think that the art of drag is so relevant in pop culture now?
I think that it's so relevant because people, we love in the drag community to think of ourselves as oddities. We know that we can capitalize on it in some way or some form because people want to see things that they don't normally get to see. So people who watch RuPaul's Drag Race, they get to see this beautiful fashion, but also these great comedy moments, and they also get to see those queens and performers blossom. And now you have even more. You have the entire WOW Presents app. You have on Discovery Plus, Trixie Mattel has now done a show called Trixie Motel, where she has bought a motel in Palm Springs and is renovating it. The Boulay brothers have done their own version with Dragula, which is absolutely amazing. I love the inclusion of it because they have AFAB performers, they have drag kings, they pride themselves on horror, filth, and glamour. So for those horror buffs who are part of the LGBTQ community, which mm-hmm. is a good majority of us, we get to see that celebrated and get to see that creativity we don't necessarily get to see in the mainstream, even though it is becoming a little bit more mainstream.
Got you. Now, a lot of us, if anybody of us has seen the show Pose on FX, mm-hmm. Award-winning show, and on there's a huge drag queen presence in the ballroom scene. But even so, it was more about family. Do you belong to a drag family? And what is that like if you do?
I think whenever we talk about those situations, it's important to recognize the ballroom scene and how important it was for the LGBTQ community and for the drag community, because many of the facets of our lives were given to us because of Black trans performers, or trans performers of color, or anything like that, and now we get to do that because of those things. We get to have that family because those people stood up and said, you know, we have a space and we want a seat at the table. And I am fortunate enough to have a drag family of my own that I was adopted into back in Kentucky where I grew up, and so we have my drag moms with Petty Poussey and Shady Couture, and my drag sister who I started with in college. Her name is Jayla Bate. And so I would not be the performer I am without them. And it's so great to just message them and say, hey, I'm doing this amazing thing, and to see their support.
That's awesome. Do you think now in like pop culture and in the media as well, people in our community at any age, are there safe spaces for them in the media or on social media, or even on their television screen that they can look at for role models?
So there's always room for growth. There is a lot more representation than what there was in years previous. Mm-hmm. It's still not up to par because a lot of the representation that you do see comes from stereotypical characters who are portrayed within this certain, like if it's a white gay man, typically they're portrayed effeminately. They really love fashion. Look at Kurt Hummel. I mean, Chris Colfer was an amazing advocate for the community, but he was given that role of stereotyped white twink gay. So there's always room for growth. I definitely think that there is a safe space for us to kind of work from, but then we do still have those places where you kind of get hit back a little bit because they don't want to see it on their television or they don't want to see it represented. Mm-hmm. Just from my own personal experience, the last conversation I ever had with my dad, I called him about Batwoman, who is an amazing character in DC Comics. And she, since her inception, identified as a lesbian. And I called and said, hey, I would love to like talk about this show with you. I think that you would really enjoy it. And all he said was, well, I just don't want to see that on my television. Mm. And I was like, you literally raised me on these comics. She has been a lesbian since she started. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So there is definitely that space there, but it is definitely not as well promoted or as well articulated as it could be.
Gotcha. So tell us about this drag brunch event at Sports and Social. What's that look like?
It looks like me showing up to scam old people out of their money. we were approached about this drag brunch for me to host and for us to have other entertainers. And I just love the opportunity, you know, talking with Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center, who is the partner with Sports and Social Allentown. Mm-hmm. Sports and Social approached Bradbury Sullivan and said, we want to do this. This is why you should pick us to do this, because there's been many people saying we want this for a while. They've yeah. wanted a drag brunch in the downtown Allentown area, and we had different opportunities to do it, but the right one felt like it came from this one. And it was the fact that they were so adamant about having us do this with them. And it was also, you know, a new space for us to work with, a big space prime for us location, to work with. Right, it's a prime Hamilton. Location. Literally, it's right down the street from my house. I could not get more lucky with it. Wow.
And there's two performers?
There is two booked performers that are being advertised, but we also have a special guest entertainer
Ooh.
Who will be there as well. I will not be giving any names or clues because that's above my pay grade, and everyone's just going to have to come and see who she is whenever Drag Brunch happens on June 26th.
In Drag Brunch, now aside from the shows, there's going to be some music, right? Who's getting the place rocking?
So we do have a DJ. It's DJ Morning Glory. And Bradbury Sullivan has worked with them previously, and I got great recommendations about working with them. I'm so excited to work with them for the first time. So they will be running our DJ music, and I will be hosting as Christina Vixen. And I will also be performing, and then we have another entertainer named Venus Mystique who will be joining us. And she wishes that she could be here today. She is so excited for the drag brunch, and she cannot wait to see everybody come out for it.
Hey, Venus, we're going to come out and see you. So what's the info? Where can we see this? Time and date?
So the drag brunch is going to be located at Sports and Social Allentown. I believe it is 645 Hamilton Street, Allentown, Pennsylvania. And the doors open at 11:30. The show starts at 12. And I believe as of today, we are almost or basically sold out. That was a really great thing for this type of event, because walking in, it had never been done really down here before.
Yeah.
So we needed to know, is this going to do well, or are we going to fall flat on our faces? As soon as those tickets went up, about 2/3 of it sold out within 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I got the message, hey, we are almost booked out. What are we going to do? Should we open up more seats? Should we do this? But yeah, it's an amazing space. It's got a lot of room for everybody to see us. And if we're not directly in your location where you're seated at in the restaurant, Sports and Social has this amazing TriCaster camera system where you can see us on the television screens. So if we're not over in your area, you still get to watch the show and you still get to enjoy us making a fool of ourselves.
That's cool.
Now, while also drinking.
Now, I'm about to say it. Now, are we expecting brunch food, mimosas?
There will definitely be some good brunch food. There will be a deal for $5 mimosas, $5 Bloody Marys, and then there's a $5 specialty crush cocktail. If you go to Sports and Social, they have a special crush drink that you have. All of the juice is squeezed in-house. And the one that we will be having featured at this drag brunch is called the Basic Bitch Cocktail. I don't even drink, and I'm so excited for it.
Now, we know your name is Christina. That's your stage name, right? Mm-hmm.
For now.
But share with our listeners who you are and what your important role is at Bradbury Sullivan.
So outside of being the in-house drag queen as a side gig, which is a very important role in Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center, in my boy job, my day-to-day name is Eric Yoke, and I also work as the major events manager at Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center. So all of our Work It Wednesday events, the monthly drag shows that we have at different restaurants around downtown mm-hmm. Allentown, the Lehigh Valley Pride itself, and Proud in Silk, hosted at Fegley's Brewworks every second Thursday of the month. Anything that's a big event that is not hosted at the center really falls under my purview.
And so in August, because, mm-hmm. You know, Pride Month is June, but in Allentown, Bradbury Sullivan hosts Pride.
Yes.
In August. So this is one of your major events, right?
Yes. We're going into the 29th year. Can you believe that?
I can't.
29 years of Pride.
That's crazy. Now, not to toot my own horn, but I was the Grand Marshal last year. You know, I'm excited. And you guys have two new Grand Marshals this year.
We do. So my predecessor in my position, I'm the major events manager. Before I got into my role, there used to be another role for the Pride Programs Manager. Mm-hmm. And that job fell to Ariel Torres, who I am now their successor. I like to think of it as an upgrade, but I know that Ariel would say differently. Ariel has given so much to the community, both as an advocate, as Ariel, but also as a living Allentown legend in drag, Miss Electra for St. James.
We grew up together.
And we were sitting and trying to figure out who to offer this to. Ariel was one of the first names we thought of. They have given so much time, so much money, so many resources, and it seemed only appropriate to give them their spot in the spotlight because they've been the person that's planned it for so long.
Yeah.
Like, they've been behind the scenes. It's time to get her
up on stage. How awesome is
that? And then we also have the Honorable Judge Linda Vega.
Judge Linda Vega.
Yes. Judge Linda Vega was another one that was one of our first choices. We were just so excited because we wanted people that represented the Lehigh Valley community. We wanted people that stood for inclusion, stood for diversity, and stood for equity. And we felt like Honorable Judge Linda Vega and Ariel Torres were the only first choices.
I'm excited. That's going to be fun. I can't wait to see them.
It is.
Both awesome friends of mine, but amazing people in the community. Anything else you want to say about Pride?
So, Pride is going to be August 21st, 2022, and it is going to be held at the Jewish Community Center of the Lehigh Valley. We do have some amazing headliners. We have Raja O'Hara from RuPaul's Drag Race and RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. We have Alyssa Hunter from season 14 of RuPaul's Drag Race, as well as our music headliners. We have Ryan Casada, who is a trans mask entertainer and makes amazing music. And then we also have Chastity Brown, who has a new album coming out this month. It's called Sing to the Walls. And I cannot sing the praises enough of both of those performers enough. So be sure to come out. It's going to be an amazing time. And if you're looking to volunteer, please go to bradburysullivancenter.org/pridevolunteers. And you would be able to work with us and just help us make Pride happen. And this year it's presented by Glamazon. They managed to get all of the Amazon warehouses with a Glamazon caucus or group together, and they came together to be the presenting sponsor of Pride.
That's a win-win. You can't beat that.
2-day shipping and gay? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the more gay, the better, I say. That's what I say about my job now, is that I get to be a professional homosexual. In essence, I get to be gay for pay.
And get paid for it.
Yeah, gay for pay.
So in closing out, where can listeners learn more about Drag Brunch? Website, social media?
So for Drag Brunch, you can go to bradburysullivancenter.org/dragbrunch_June2022. You can also go to Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center on all of our social media. It's at BSC Lehigh Valley. Or you can go and follow the social media of Sports and Social Allentown, which you can find us all on Instagram or Facebook. I know that you can find Sports and Social on TikTok. You can also follow us on Snapchat. Or just stop by. Come by Sports and Social. Get some food. Or come by the center, learn about all of the things that we do, because there's so much we do in the community that people don't know about until they actually come and see it.
Well, thank you for sharing those handles. Well, Eric and Christina, I want to thank you for stopping by QLV tonight for this conversation around Pride Month and the impact that drag queens have had on it as well.
Justin, thank you so much for having me and my split personality. For all of my drag entertainers out here in the Lehigh Valley, if you would like to work with Bradbury Sullivan at one of our many drag events or even potentially Pride, please email me at eric@bradburysullivancenter.org or follow me on any of my socials, Christina Vixen. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or maybe even down on the street. Who knows? But thank you.
To all of our local drag queens and kings out there, keep rocking it, keep giving them hell, and keep being loud and proud. We see you and we love you. And thank you to our listeners for making time for this conversation. You can also find past episodes and other public affairs programming at WDIY.org and on all major podcast platforms. I'm Justin Parker Fields, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on QLV.
WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio, your trusted local NPR member station for over 25 years. Many choices, real voices.